Week in Review, where we recap events and issues pertinent to Central Illinois. I'm WMBD Radio News Director Will Stevenson. Illinois Central College has been working hard in recent years to make sure both high school students and graduates can get industry-specific training without having to necessarily get a college degree. That continued this past week with the college receiving a $3 million federal grant that is forming what's called Employ Central Illinois, connecting the college, high schools, and the Regional Office of Education with job training, internship, and other related opportunities. The school districts involved are Peoria, Illini Bluffs, and Pekin, among other entities. You'll hear from ICC President Sheila Quirk Bailey in a moment, but first, Susan Grzanich with Peoria Public Schools.
On behalf of Peoria Public Schools and our superintendent, Sharon DeMolan-Carat, I am happy to be here today as our College and Career Readiness Coordinator. Remarkable Futures is our title for our program. So we're excited to see the recognition of actually years of collaboration that we've had in the region. I want to recognize Dr. Quirk Bailey and Beth Kreider for leading us in a regional workforce initiative for years that I believe was probably the roots, the foundation, and the gas that brought all of this to this point for us to be able to receive this grant and continue the work we've been doing and leading in the state for a long time. So we also have several hundred students in our College and Career Pathway courses. We are in all four of our serving schools. We've got three high schools and our Woodruff Career and Technical Center, and we have around 14 different pathways right now. So we're very excited to see the expansion of a couple of our pathways as well as enhancements to others that we will be having. Our students regularly earn over 600 credentials and certifications each year as they go through and they earn those industry credentials. It's so important for a resume, whether they're going right into the workforce after high school or on to college. So we're excited that our students are able to do that. And we're blessed with working with over 100 employers as well as our great partners here that we have today on our team that I'm constantly emailing and asking questions of. So we are pleased to be a part of this and help our students graduate with a high school diploma that has a lot of gas behind it, and we think this grant will do that. So, again, just want to thank the opportunity to engage and be a partner with everyone and looking forward to the amazing things that our students are going to see in their remarkable futures. Thank you.
So I think you all understand now why I said we had three amazing high school partners. We're going to do some great things with schools who are approaching, supporting their students from different perspectives based on their needs, and it just makes all of this stronger. So thank you very much, Susan and Peoria Public Schools. As we move forward, one of the things we realized in this collaboration is that schools can't do these things alone, right? Businesses can't do it alone. We all need to come together. There are agencies that work to support the workforce who are also available in this region, doing amazing work, and they need to be included too. For too long in this region, union apprenticeships stood separately, and I really appreciate the collaboration and willingness to think about things differently from Clint Drury, the executive director of the West Central Illinois Buildings Construction Trade Council. And this is just one more time where he picked up the phone and we said, okay, you're probably going to have to change your intake times and we're going to have to move this and shuffle this. And Clint says, let's talk about it. So really happy to create a direct pathway into those union apprenticeships through this partnership as well. And to tell you a little more about that is Clint Drury.
Good morning. It's good to see a lot of friends out there, and Don, you as well. you know, I love the name that the group came up with, Employ Central Illinois. I want you to say that with me, Employ Central Illinois. One more time, a little louder. Employ Central Illinois. It's catchy. I love it. I want to thank Dr. Quirk Bailey, the team, the board, for the initiative, and all the hard work. If if the results of this grant are anything like putting the grant together and that collaboration, the success that we obviously saw from that, it's going to be an overwhelming success. So, again, Clint Drury, Executive Director of the West Central Building Trades. I represent 17,000 union construction professionals in Central and Western Illinois, 9,000 of which live in the Peoria MSA. We have over 300 partner contractors. So when we talk about the placement into the apprenticeship, that's who ends up hiring them at the end of the day. A little bit about our apprenticeship programs. It's Earn While You Learn. It's free, right? We pay for our apprentices every hour worked by our apprentices and journey people goes into a fund that pays for that education. So we're pretty proud of that. 3 to 5 years, and you know we have articulation agreements, what we call articulation agreements, with several schools in the area. One is Woodruff. So you know we're versed in this space. And the intent and the collaboration, as Dr. Quirk Bailey mentioned, is to build those out, right? We want to build out across the 15 trades as many applicable articulation agreements. So our high school kids that are interested in construction, you know, go through that path. They're ready to go, right? They're ready to get in our apprenticeship program. It's direct entry. So that's what we want to build out. And we're excited to work with everybody that you've heard from and will hear from, and hopefully, you know, this grant continues and we show success, and I'm 100% confident that we will meet the marks that we need to with the leadership that we have here. So thank you again, Employee Central Illinois.
Thank you, Clint. Next up, we have Eric Hill from Skills USA, and Eric represents another one of those, Skills USA Illinois, another one of those organizations who has been working with students both at the high school and the college level to provide opportunities with them. But with this grant, we are building them into the ecosystem, right, and providing that alignment with direct from high school into the services they provide, which is direct to employers. So there are some employers who provide their own apprenticeship programs, and they will provide on-the-job training for those individuals. And Eric will then, through Skills USA Illinois, work with students who prefer to take that pathway. So that's also part of the regional workforce development system in Employee Central Illinois. So next up is Eric Hill from Skills USA Illinois.
Thank you and good morning. Really excited to be here today and to be part of this amazing group. Skills USA is a nationwide organization. We partner with about 18,000 high schools, colleges, and middle schools across the United States, all with the intention of preparing the next generation of skilled workers. So what better example of partnership than a partnership just like we're talking about here today? Skills USA Illinois started an apprenticeship program with the U.S. Department of Labor just over 3 years ago, where we now currently sponsor just over 100 employers in Illinois. So we help them build, manage, and support youth-focused apprenticeship programs. So while our students are in the high school classroom, they're leaving either after school to go work or getting release time from the school day to be able to go out and start their trade, start their skill. And this partnership is going to allow on-roads and off-roads back into and out of higher education as we want to see our students continue to be upskilled. But really, I just want to talk for a moment about the partnership that this grant has formed. When you look at all of the great workforce development initiatives that are going on in Central Illinois, there's a lot of really, really good work happening here. What this grant is really going to do, it's going to pull us together to say, what can we be doing to move Central Illinois forward as a whole? We all work collaboratively on different projects, but really seeing all of us together in a consistent model, I really think that's exactly what this this grant was intended for. And I think Central Illinois is about ready to have an incredible opportunity for our youth over the next 3 to 5 years and hopefully even further. So again, so excited to have SkillsUSA be a part of this program, and can't wait to report back on all the good work taking place. So, and thank you again to your entire grant team. It was an amazing phone call to completion, I think was about 30 days of work for what was an absolutely astronomical amount of work. So Dr. Quirk-Bailey, thank you very much to your team and to you for pulling this all together. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Eric. Again, to consistently include, right, a successful organization like SkillsUSA Illinois directly into these pathways will just be a game changer for our students.
The Peoria Public School District is moving forward with the purchase of electric school buses. The District 150 School Board this week approved a letter of intent with energy company Verigy that will lead to the purchase of the buses thanks to a $6 million grant once some solar panels and charging stations, among other things, are installed. Joshua Collins is the Peoria Public Schools Transportation Director, speaking to the District 150 School Board earlier this week.
We want to deploy these in the 61605 and 61603 zip codes. These zip codes seem to be heavily impacted, and we've talked about these zip codes before with air quality. So we want to make sure that we're deploying these clean vehicles in those areas to help with the air quality in those areas for those students. Next slide. So with Verigy and how Verigy comes in, and I have Michelle James here with Verigy. As you can see, this is a brief timeline. We've been working with Verigy for well over a year on different projects and different grants, attempting to apply for these grants. Because in addition to getting the vehicles, obviously we need an infrastructure to charge these vehicles, which will be different than what we currently have right now. So I'm going to turn it over to Michelle. Next slide. And she can talk to you a little bit about what Verigy does and a little bit about our infrastructure.
Good evening to the board and administration. Just a little background on Verigy. Again, my name is Michelle James with Verigy, and our company provides turnkey infrastructure solutions that improve the learning environment and really help districts accelerate their energy transition. So as Josh mentioned, about a year ago, we actually got involved with the district in pursuing what that might look like in terms of if the district were to receive some electric buses and some of these grants. And so one of the things that we also have as part of our staff is a dedicated division for grants. And so we work directly with the district to put together the EPA grant submission, which included the solution that you see here today. So roughly what this shows you, it's kind of hard to see on this slide here, but it's essentially for 15 buses, which was the grant submission that we helped with, the electrical infrastructure that would be necessary, and the charging stations for those 15 buses. So this represents basically the electrical panels, the electrical wiring, some of the disconnects, and the charging stations. So we would actually be looking at level two charging stations for the buses, and then also two level three fast charging stations as well for any time that perhaps you had other districts that came into Peoria School District that wanted to do a fast charging solution as well. So that's really the highlights here that you see of the infrastructure solution. If you go to the next slide. The other thing that we looked at, which was important in the grant submission, was ways that you could offset that usage. And so in addition to the previous slide where we showed the charging stations, the infrastructure, and actually a backup generator for resilience as well, we also looked at putting in a solar panel, a solar array on the roof of the Richwoods High School. So what you see here where that blue star is actually the area that we would be looking in putting the solar array on the roof, and that would offset the electricity that would be used for the 15 EV buses. So you can see that helioscope there as well. And as part of the installation of the solar panel, we have to make sure that the roofing is in good shape. And so we've also included upgrading the roofing in the area where you see the blue star. The white roof that you see below is in good shape right now and would not need any additional upgrades. So if you move to the next slide, This provides you with an overview of the financials associated with the electrical infrastructure, with the charging stations, the generator, the solar-mounted roof array, and the roofing upgrades that are needed. So basically, the budget cost for those improvements would be $4.2 million that you see here. So one of the things that we evaluate as part of these solutions are what are the additional grants that are out there that can help offset these costs as well. So that first piece that you see, which is the annual EV and solar savings, essentially there are going to be some solar revenue that you're going to be generating from the solar panels, as well as we calculated what the savings would be from going to your diesel buses to the EV. So that's maintenance and savings from your electric usage as well, or gas usage rather. So on an annual basis, we estimate the $214,000 a year in savings. Also, through the state there are, and federally, there are some additional grants and incentives that we look at. So the federal government actually has a IRA tax incentive. So basically that is a minimum of 30% that would be eligible for these types of projects. And so Verigy would help the district pursue that 30%. And actually in the case of Peoria, you would be eligible for another 10% for American-made, and most likely another 10%, bringing it up to 50% for disadvantaged communities based on where basically we're going to be serving with these electric buses. So that comes to about $1 million in incentives. We are also allowed to use depreciation over that 20-year period of time, which is about $1.4 million. And so when we put this into a cash flow, you actually have a 10-year payback. And then after 30 years, you're going to be bringing back $7 million in total to the district, which we feel like is a pretty impressive number for this type of improvement. So if you move to the next slide, looks like that's actually the end of the slide. But what we're looking for today really is just to move into the next step. As you can see from that previous slide, we have done all the necessary work in order to get the grants. And so the next step for us would be actually to take this preliminary design, do the final engineering, competitively bid that out, and then bring back a turnkey guaranteed contract to the district. So we appreciate the time and consideration.
Thank you. Ms. Ross? Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you guys have any questions?
Okay. Yeah, I had a quick question. You've been working with, what is it, VRG?
VRG.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was this a bidding process?
No, this partnership came out of a relationship, I believe, with Dr. Karat.
So wasn't supposed to be bidded?
Supposed to be? No, I mean, we wrote a grant together. And
correct.
And so it's
there's
it's
also the SIPC piece that the district is a member of.
What does that stand for? SIPC.
Yeah, I can speak to that. So about a year ago when we came in and learned that the district was interested in EV-type projects, we came in and at risk really just provided an initial assessment just to see if this made sense on paper. So that was just something that we did at no cost to the district. And then again, when the grant came about, we also at no cost just offered our services to see if we could even successfully, get awarded the grant for the district. What Josh is talking about is through the state of Illinois, there is a association called the Schools of Illinois Public Cooperative, and about a year ago, they actually went out and competitively pursued a request for proposals for companies like Verigy, and we were selected through that cooperative purchasing program to be an approved ESCO, Energy Services Company. And so Peoria School District became a member of the cooperative recently at no cost. And because of that, Peoria is able to use companies like Verigy that have been selected through that RFP process, as well as other companies that provide different services.
Okay. So, and how close are you working with buildings and grounds on when you talk about schools and redoing roofs and that kind of thing?
Good question. Yes. As part of the assessment, we did work with the facility director to review the infrastructure for the transportation building and for the high school, as well as looking at the roof. So with administration, we looked at both the financials and the infrastructure itself.
Joshua Collins with Peoria Public Schools and Michelle James with Verigy. The Peoria City Council met this past week and took up a number of items, including another new apartment and retail complex planned for the Warehouse District. But one issue the council heard about was one that many residents just didn't like. Peoria Mayor Rita Ali says the city will not take up a resolution that encouraged the council to call for a ceasefire in the war between Israel and the terrorist group Hamas. That did not stop a number of Peoria residents from speaking out about why they say the council should adopt such a resolution. Here is a sampling of some of those comments, with a note that applause in between each speech has been edited out for time purposes.
As everyone here before me has stated, all we're asking you is to support the ceasefire resolution. You may say it isn't within our power to pass this or that it isn't a local issue, and I understand why you may think that. I do understand that this won't affect things on a global scale because we are a small voice, or rather a small piece in this grand puzzle of a country, but we still are a piece that completes the puzzle. As for local issue, well, it is a local issue because we have residents in Peoria that are Palestinian, who have family, who have friends, who have people that they know, along with people that are no longer around due to the indiscriminate killings and bombings because of the Israeli government. All of you sit there in positions of power saying you speak for the people, but how can that be true when you decide to turn a blind eye simply because you say it won't affect things on a global scale or it's not within your power to do so? Again, we may be small, but that doesn't mean that we don't matter, because we do. We're not telling you or asking you to take sides. We're asking you to represent the people to say that we don't stand for this, we don't stand for this violence, and we don't want to contribute to it, and we want an end to the violence that's happening. We the people can watch as you are our elected officials right now, but if you are not to listen to us, we the people have the power to vote you out. Even if it may not affect you on a personal level, it's important for us to care as humans. Someone I once know said we shouldn't have to wait for something to come knocking at our door to take action. So what are we waiting for? Thank you.
Next, we have Justin Luba, followed by Adam Katoon.
My name is Justin, and I was raised in Peoria, where I now live and vote, and I'm urging you to adopt a ceasefire resolution. I wake up every day and re-realize that it could have been me, murdered on October 7th, or even taken captive. It could also have been me, torn apart by 2,000-pound bombs made in the United States and provided to the State of Israel. I understand that all of us are here right now, not slowly dying, with lungs full of dust and rubble, only by accidents of birth and circumstance. All life is sacred, and cycles of destruction do not end with further killing. The equal and irreducible value of all human life demands that we, at minimum, bear honest witness. There is nothing human in us that can look away from Gaza. There is no way to say nothing in the face of this and still walk away with one's own humanity intact. Yet so often it is easiest to silence what is human in us, killing it for the sake of political expediency. Israel's current retaliatory assault on Gaza has included the decimation of all life-sustaining infrastructure and the blockading of essential aid. Sewage runs in the streets, and Israel has salted the fields. This demolition includes the razing of most of Gaza's domiciles, churches, mosques, schools, the besieging of hospitals and UN shelters, the use of illegal chemical weapons, extrajudicial field executions, torture of civilians, weaponized starvation, and a further endless list of war crimes made possible by contributions from U.S. taxpayers. Continuing to refer to these acts as defense is dishonest propaganda. However, I am not here to talk about the distortions in popular rhetoric that try to make us believe that investing in cycles of violence will ever bring peace. I'm not here to discuss the view that one people's grief could ever justify another's oppression and annihilation, and I am also not here to read out a list of heart-numbing statistics or to provide historical context. I only want you to imagine a child, preferably one who you are close with, your own, or a niece, or a nephew, or a grandchild, or a loved one's child. Imagine them playing by the beach with a kite or a shovel, calling your name and smiling. Imagine them being contemplative, perhaps outside or in their houses of worship. Imagine them loving their grandparents, speaking intensely with their friends, playing a game, drawing, being momentarily obsessed with something, deciding who to become and devising a sense of themselves. Imagine watching this child's body imploding in bullets. Imagine that the last image you have of your child is their look of panic as your roof collapses from the force of an airstrike. Imagine them hunched and walking without food or water the 20-plus miles from the north to the south of Gaza, only to die painfully of digestive illness in a refugee camp. These are the least graphic descriptions. Nothing could justify this horror that our tax dollars have created. All of the children of Palestine are your child. Our government murders hundreds of your children every day with your taxes. They murder these children or leave them alone after murdering their family. At this moment, the Israeli assault on Gaza is an orphan factory and it runs on U.S. military aid. If you cannot or will not put your own children in the place of Gaza, in the place of the children of Gaza, then you are the successful product of a racist dehumanization campaign. It should not be controversial to refuse ideologies that demand endless mass death and tribute. It could never be wrong to protest the unceasing parade of mutilated Palestinian corpses that we, Peorian taxpayers, bankroll. And it is not anti-anyone to advocate for universal safety, collective liberation, and well-being. Someone who attempts to tell you otherwise is either a coward, deeply misguided, or employed by the weapons industry. United States taxpayers unwillingly donate $3.8 billion yearly to the state of Israel, in addition to billions more we will provide in 2024. Over $1.7 million of Peorian taxpayer money flows into this death machine yearly. In other words, we are the direct enablers of a plausible genocide, and with each dollar sent, we make ourselves more complicit. This is why we have to say no, not in my name, not with my money. We are each called politically, morally, and spiritually. There is no neutral position. If you are not saying no to genocide, then you are saying yes. Refusing to call for a ceasefire in every capacity available to you amounts to an abdication of moral courage, a turning away from all that is human in you, and a complete rejection of equality, justice, and anything one could call God. Every day the death toll grows, more children are orphaned or slaughtered, and we are responsible. Whatever power you have, use it. Ceasefire now.
Next we have Adam Katum.
I'm going to speak with you guys from the heart. I know many of you know me, you know what I stand for, so there's no need for me to having to repeat myself over and over. Since it's Black History Month, let me remind you guys of a little history story that happened in 1963, Birmingham, Alabama. When the children, the black children, were sick of being segregated in Birmingham, Alabama, they got up and they protested on the street. Over 800, 4,000 black children under 15 years old, under 8 years old, under 4 years old, got arrested and got put in prison. Now, when you see people my age coming out and speaking for what is right and what is wrong, then that just shows that something is going on, something is wrong, and that we need to stand up and we need to do something. Because I might not be old enough to vote. I might not be old enough to have a say what happens in the world, but I definitely have the right to feel safe in my city, knowing that my elected officials aren't against what I'm doing, aren't against what I stand for, aren't against my beliefs. Because knowing that you guys can give us the opportunity of having a ceasefire in Peoria, that doesn't mean that we're discriminating, that we're picking sides, that we're doing anything. That just means that people, whether whatever side you're on, can feel safe in our own city, knowing that our own elected officials believe that the death toll, the killing, everything that has been happening has to come to an end, because it is over 30,000 people that have died in Gaza. Many of them I know, many of them I've tried to help. It's impossible. It's not easy. That's why we ask our city council members, we ask you, Madam Mayor, to come and propose a ceasefire on the agenda. At least put the ceasefire on the agenda. Have a vote. Let us know what our elected officials think about what is going on. in a war that is in the Middle East. It's a big ask. No one's saying that whether you vote yes or whether you vote no, that nothing's going to happen. It's a big ask. And I ask you from the bottom of my heart, hoping to reach the bottom of your hearts, that's being blocked by politics, that's being blocked by votes, that's being blocked by funds for next election, hoping that my ask and the rest of the people here to ask can just put the ceasefire on the agenda. Whether you guys vote yes, whether you guys vote no, just knowing what our city council members think, knowing which one of our council members think that us being safe, us feeling safe, is a good thing, because that's all we're here for. We just want to on the agenda. We just want to know your point of views on everything. You vote no, you vote yes, that's all up to you. Ceasefire now.
A Bradley University student recently got the chance of a lifetime, even though she might tell you she hopes it's not the last chance of her lifetime. Bree Jefferson of the Galesburg area is a business management major at Bradley, hoping to become a front office executive with a sports franchise someday. She was one of a number of people who won the chance to intern at the Super Bowl through a competitive process. Here's part of a conversation I had with Bree once she got back to Peoria a couple days ago.
I was looking for internships. I was looking for opportunities. And I came across this one with a company called Living Sport. I applied to it, and I heard back about 2 weeks later. They said they wanted to do a panel interview, so we did a panel interview, and it was me and 20 other candidates, not to mention there was like 10 different time slots, so there was many, many candidates for this, and it was the CEO and like one other person. And it was just round-robin questions, so you only got one shot. You had to stand out with just a couple words. And that was very nerve-wracking.
I was going to say, I can't imagine how difficult that would have been, given how competitive you say it was.
It was very competitive. They said hundreds of people applied. So it was a really cool process to go through. Honestly, raised my self-confidence a lot, just having to go through that, hearing everyone else's answers, and also honestly, it was also great networking, because you saw people who was there or who were there like for the same reasons, and they actually encouraged us to stay in touch with the people in that interview, and I have.
Fast forward me here to you being in Vegas. What was your week or so like, and what sorts of things did you get to do and learn in that period?
Oh, gosh. We did so much in 10 days. One of the coolest experiences I had, this internship program, it really tries to also dive into the culture of the city that hosts whatever your event you're working for. So we actually got to go out to the desert and do some horseback riding. And that was incredible, to be in like the mountains. And I haven't had too many times where I've like ridden a horse. And so to do that with like a group of people, it was like one of our first days. Really great icebreaker, and it was so much fun. We also went to UNLV a lot. So the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. We got to hear from LaShawn Merritt, and we got to hear from David Meltzer. David Meltzer is one of the top sports agents in the world. So he is the CEO with Lee, who the movie Jerry Maguire was based off of. And he very popular, like, speaker, very popular sports agent. So it was really, really, really cool to hear from him. We got like an autographed book from him. Also one of those like once in a lifetime experiences. Not many people get to hear from David Meltzer live. So it was so cool to meet him. LaShawn Merritt is a 3-time Olympian. He won 3 Olympic gold medals for track and field. even beat Usain Bolt. So to have him, he served as one of our mentors for the week, actually. So we got to spend the entire week with him, which was so cool. He went with us to on all of our excursions, which was incredible. Like, I felt like I was friends with him by the end of the trip, and this is a three-time gold medalist. So cool. I can't get over this trip, honestly.
It sounds like it, for sure.
Yeah. We also, there's so much we did. We also went to the Moto Speedway, which was super cool. Got to meet several executives there. And we went to a student meet and greet. So we went to UNLV, and we got to meet a lot of students who were working at the Super Bowl from multiple colleges, and have like a networking event. Heard from some really important people who are like based in Las Vegas. And then we worked the fan experience. We worked the Super Bowl. Fan experience was awesome. I'm a huge Packers fan. So I got to see Jordan Love. He was there signing autographs. That was awesome. And we just got to, you know, hang out with the kids, direct people around, help them, you know, kick field goals, play the games. The fan experience was awesome. It was a really cool experience. They had the Super Bowl. Oh, that was a long day. That was like 17 hours on my feet.
Oh.
We were on a bus at 5:15 a.m. We were checked in at 6. Our shift started around 9, and we didn't clock out until around 10 p.m. But honestly, actually, I was so driven by the adrenaline, I had no problem getting up at 4 a.m. that morning.
It almost seems to me that those people you talk to at UNLV, especially David Meltzer and others, it sounds like that was the most important part of the experience for you, was it?
That was a really cool experience. But honestly, the peers that I met there were the best part about it. So I was with 49 other program participants. So we spent every day together for 10 days. And it taught to us a lot that networking in the business world is vertical. And networking horizontally, networking with others above you who are in greater positions, is great. But networking horizontally and being able to form bonds and relationships with people who are going to grow at the same time as you is even more important. Because you're going to be able to use those resources for life, and they are going to go do big things. You're going to go do big things and always be able to lean on each other. Honestly, we all yesterday leaving, like spending, I don't know, 16 hours a day for 10 days in a row really, really makes you close to some people.
Yeah.
And it was honestly hard getting on that plane this morning. I have a lot of great friends that came. Now I have friends all over the U.S. now. A lot of great people who came. It's a fantastic group of people who came for that program. Made a lot of friends, made a lot of good connections, and I'm excited that they'll be a part of my life.
Bree Jefferson, who says she was asked to intern next year in New Orleans, and she's really thinking about it. That does it for this edition of Week in Review. Join us again next week on this Midwest Communications station for another recap of some of the biggest issues and events in Central Illinois. I'm Will Stevenson, WMBD Radio News.